Thank you for taking the time to visit us online. We would love to meet you in person, so here's some information just for you. Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m., and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m., and this is all happening at 6310 Lyons Road, Garland, Texas. We hope that you enjoy this message by Pastor Troy DeFeo. Have a great day.
Well, good morning. It is good to see you here, and I want to thank Justin for putting that little video together. That 40 seconds probably took 4 hours, so it probably did, really. Man, it's great to have you here, and thank you so much for our guests for being here this morning, and thank you, our members. I was looking at the calendar, and this week marks 3 years that I came on board as the pastor of this church, and I can't tell you how grateful and how excited I still am being your pastor and being able to come up each week and just being able to preach God's word, and for you guys being a huge part of my life. And I just want to say thank you so much for that. This morning, as we open up God's word, as we open up a new time right now for the kids, what is VBS all about? This whole idea of VBS and this video, Maker Fun Factory, created by God, built for a purpose. Built for a purpose. Do you know what your purpose is? And I woke up this early Monday morning before I started writing the sermon, and I was just excited. I was excited about what this whole week is really all about. Starting tonight, just understanding that there's an excitement for us to be able to go and to be able to teach God's word to all these kids. To have a love for Jesus. I mean, this is why we do it. And this is who we do it for. This is why we're here, right? It's not for any other reason, hopefully, than to honor and to preach and to learn and to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. There's two big reminders I want us to have for this morning. Reminder one, I don't want you to just to think about your kids in the right now. I don't want you to just to think about your kids in the right now, in this time. I want you to think about your kids. I want you to think about your teenagers. I want you to think about your college students. I want you to think of them not just in the right now, but I want you to think of them 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 50 years from now. How times like this could truly change their life. I want you to think about your life right now. Five years from now, where are you going to be? 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 50 years from now. What are you smiling about? Nella? You and I are still hanging out together. We still have our dates. I love that lady. 50 years from now, where are we going to be? What did we live our life for? What are we living our life for right now? And I think about that, about living in just in the right now. And it's a lot better than living in the past, but I want you to think about the future. I want you to think about where we're going to be spiritually mature. Where is it that you want your kids to be? When you're laying down at night and you're staring at your ceiling fan, watching it go round and round, and you're praying, where is it that you want your kids to be spiritually right now? Where do you want to be spiritually 5, 10, 20 years from now? What is it that you want your kids to know about Jesus that they don't know right now? And here's the question. Are you doing everything you can to get them to look more like Jesus? Are you doing everything you can right now to make them look more like Jesus? And kids, I'm talking to you right now. Are you doing everything you can right now to look more like Jesus? The things that you say, the things that you do, how you act. If he's truly number one in your life, then this changes everything, doesn't it? It changes everything. See, the problem is that we need to understand that as VBS, we're created by God and we're built for a purpose. What is that purpose? I believe that purpose is to look more like Christ. I believe our purpose is to look more like Christ, and it's not going to just happen overnight. It's not going to just happen during this week of VBS, and it especially is not going to happen right now after this sermon. I'm not that great. If you think you're going to become spiritually mature after this sermon, or if your kids are going to start walking with the Lord in continual obedience after this week of VBS, I've got news for you. Look at your own life. Look at my life. It doesn't always look that way. It's not going to always be like that. I've learned one thing as a pastor. There are no shortcuts to becoming spiritually mature. I have tried, and I have gotten lost every time. There are no spiritual shortcuts. My ways, my impatience, me wanting to do something, me wanting to have something when it's not God's time yet, when it's not his ready time, when it's almost like it's my will and not his will. It's my shortcuts, it's my shortcomings. And we realize that God's timing is not always our timing. But there's no shortcuts in becoming spiritually mature. Paul speaks about spiritual maturity as an athlete, one who disciplines and one who buffets their body. I know that I could not go in and do a marathon right now. I could try to take the shortcut and just get in the line and even go to the front. But I know that I'm in not shape. I have not been buffeting my body. I have not been getting ready. I have not even been really walking, much less running 20 miles a day, eating right, doing all the things I need to be doing to run this marathon. And spiritually, what are we doing each and every single day to run this race with God if we're not buffeting our body and getting disciplined spiritually with the Lord? In 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about, Paul says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Meaning that I reasoned. I came up with all these different reasons and excuses and ways to have my way and not God's way. I cannot take shortcuts in becoming spiritually mature with God. There's no shortcuts. It's a discipline. David speaks of walking through the valleys of the shadow of death, not running on top of mountaintops. We got to go through the valleys. I like what Eugene Peterson said. He said, becoming like Jesus is the result of long obedience in the same direction. The problem with us is in obedience, we're always going in all different types of directions. Do you ever notice that with your life sometimes? I know with me that my obedience is going in many different directions, and it's not very obedient. I want to take the shortcuts. I want to take the quick exits. I want what I want, and I want what I want right now. And it may not be God's timing, as I said. It may not be God's ways, for his ways are better than my ways. And it's not godly direction. We often give up way too early. We often give in way too early. We often give over our ministries because you were built for a purpose. But when I give up and when I give in and when I give over other things that God is putting before my lap, and I say, no, I don't want to do that. I can't do that. Or I'm going to thank you, God, for giving this. And then all of a sudden we give up because it gets too hard. We were built for a purpose, but what is that purpose? But if I'm giving up and I'm giving in and I'm giving over, and we're not staying disciplined, if we're not buffeting our body, we begin to go a different direction. The Greek word for disciple means learner. It doesn't mean that you're an expert. I think that's why Jesus called those people that he called. None of them were scholars. None of them were these great, amazing priests working in the synagogue. They were normal, ordinary people, just like you and me. They were not experts. Taking the idea, this Greek word, that all of Jesus' true followers will be learning, growing, walking, struggling, testing, maturing daily. It's a process. Have you noticed that with your own life? Or has everything been easy for you? When you become a Christian, nowhere in Scripture does it say that it's going to be easy. Actually, the Bible that I read, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. He doesn't say it's going to be easy, although there's a lot of fun times. Although there's a lot of blessings. Although that your life should be exciting. John promises this. He says, John 10:10, to have this abundant life. It's supposed to be abundant. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be a blessing. It's supposed to be exciting. It's better than anything that you could ever imagine or think about. When you give your life to Christ, your life is going to change. There's no doubt about it. But it doesn't mean it's always going to be always great. The message that I want to share with you today is, if I want to look more like Christ, I must stay close to Christ and what he is saying and doing. In short, kids, I want you to memorize this verse for VBS. Okay? 1 Corinthians 11:1, it says, "Be imitators of me. I am Christ." Be imitators of me. I am Christ. That's Jesus speaking. Well, y'all memorize that. And when you see me during VBS, I want you to come up to me and I want you to memorize. I want you to quote that to me. I want that to be in your heart. Philippians 2:5 says, "Have that of the same attitude as Jesus Christ." Be imitators of me. What does that look like? How do we become imitators? How do we get to look more like Christ? There's three godly truths I want to share with you really quickly. And I'm going to be skipping around in scriptures and it's going to be up there, okay? But I want to ask you a question. What things does God use to teach us to look more like him? I'm going to say this again, because listen up, because I'm really asking you this. What things does God use to teach us to look more like him? What would you say? Yes, sweetheart. Read the Bible. That's a good one. See, the kids are participating. Come on now. What else? This is not a rhetorical question. I'm really asking you guys this. What does God use to allow you to get closer to God? Trials, tribulation, testing. Those are a lot of T words. And Troy. What else? Somebody said something.
Prayer.
What else?
Blessings.
Is that it? What is it? Love? Yeah. All of these things. All of these things. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things." Are you holding on to that? "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him." Do you love him? Do you?
Yes.
"Who have been called." Have you been called?
Yes.
Yeah. "According to his purpose." Do you know what you are built for? Do you know what his purpose is for your life? If you're sitting here today and you have no idea what you're built for, if you have no idea why you are here on this earth, if you have no idea why you're sitting in these pews, good news, I got an answer for you. It's that scripture, it's that verse, it's to become imitators of Christ. You were built for a purpose. I don't know what you're going to be. You may be a secretary. You may be a maid. You may be on the mission field. You may be a stay-at-home mom. You may be an architect. You may be a landscaper. You may be shining shoes. I don't know. But whatever you're doing, whatever God has called you to do, be an imitator of Christ. Whatever it is that God has for you, whatever He's built you for, whatever He's made you to do, look like Christ, even in the hard things. So the first truth that we see, becoming imitators of God, because He says in all things, God uses troubled times to teach us how to have character of Christ. The character of Christ. When you think about Jesus' character, you got to, I mean, it's extraordinary to think about how He lived His life, how He handled things. Romans 8:28 shows us in His great sovereignty that God is able to use all things, even the ugly, even the sinful things that we do, to look more like Christ. There's something about repentance. There's something about our struggles that He uses to change the heart. And we see it happened over and over in the Bible, the tragedies, the things. What about your own life? I want you to think about your life, your struggles, your sins, the ugly things that you don't want anyone to know about, that only God may know about, the one that you put aside, that you say, I'm going to keep this in the attic, and then in the closet, and inside the box, and I'm going to put tape and duct tape around it, and I'm going to seal it, because there is no way I'm going to open this up to anyone else to be able to see this. I know you can see it, God. But this is way too ugly for anyone else to see, because they will judge me. They will never let me serve in a ministry. They will never let me do this if they found out about who I really am. There's something about repentance. There's something about struggles. I love how David, in his story, it opens up even after he committed adultery, after he murdered somebody. I waited patiently. There's no shortcuts. Right off the bat, there's no shortcuts. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He turned and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mire and the clay, out of the quicksand, because I was sinking in my sin. I was sinking in my selfishness. I was sinking in my control. And He set my feet upon a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. Why? Because God can use you in all things if you are repentant and you turn your heart to God. For troubles without number surround me. It means it's endless. It's never going to stop. You're always going to have struggles. But please, to save me, Lord, come quickly. But may all who seek You rejoice and be glad in You. May those who long for Your savings help always. Says the Lord is great. In the good things and the bad things, the Lord is great. Jerry Bridges, quote, it says, the development of a beautiful Christ-like character will not occur in our lives without adversity. The only way Christ-like character is developed is in sin and the crucible of real life experiences. Oftentimes when we sinned, we feel so much guilt and shame and conviction. But I also want you to understand something. This is when God can show up the most. This is when God can do His work the best. If you're already broke, who's going to do the rebuilding? See, God never throws away any one of us. You're not trash to Him. He's got the perfect duct tape. He's got the perfect super glue. He's the great potter. You're not going to be just thrown on a shelf. He says, I'm going to get you out of that harbor. I'm going to build you up, and you're going to go destinations. There's no way you're staying in this harbor. I'm not done until I tell you I'm done with you. But see, oftentimes we give up. Oftentimes we give in. Oftentimes we give over. Because we think that we've done too much. We think that our sin has held us back. We think that we have gone too far. The problem is that God says, I'm not done with you until I call your number up. I'm not done with you. The second truth that we see to become imitators of Christ is that God uses our trespasses to teach us how to forgive like Christ. Oh, the old big forgiveness word. The word trespass has two Greek meanings. And the King James simply means to get off task or to miss the mark. It's a military term that was used of morality. It's also the meaning of sin, to cause intentional harm and sometimes even unintentional harm to people. But probably one of the toughest things to do in life, besides taming the tongue, is to truly be able to forgive people who have hurt us, who have disrespected us, who have done something that closes the door, that deadbolts the door, that shuts it on another person. I call this the grudge door instead of the garage door. The grudge door. It only opens if you decide to click the button to let that person in or out. And guess who's in control of that button? You are. The grudge door. Will you let someone in, or have they been casted out due to an unforgiving heart? We live in a world of entitlement and control. We live in a world that we get to become the judge and the sentencers of people. Peter asked in Matthew 18, when someone sins against me, Jesus, how many times am I supposed to forgive? And he says, not seven times, which is the complete number in Jewish numerology, in the gematria, not seven times, but 70 times seven, he says, you should forgive. See, oftentimes we decide when to forgive, who to forgive, and where to forgive. But you want to know something cool? So does Jesus. So does Jesus. Jesus, he gets to decide when to forgive. You know when he decides? Every time I mess up. Jesus decides who to forgive. You know who he decided to forgive? You and me, every time we mess up. Even the worst of the worst. Even the ones that you say, there's no way Jesus would ever forgive this guy or this girl for what they've done. Man, it's just way too bad. I mean, this person killed all these people, did all this stuff. Jeffrey Dahmer, there's no way. Charles Manson, there's no way. David Koresh, there's no way. Troy DeFail, there's no way. And he decided where to forgive. 2,000 years ago on a cross, for all the people that lived before him, for all the people that's going to live after him, he decided who and where and why and how to forgive. If we want to be imitators of Christ, we got to understand how to forgive. I want to be vulnerable with you. Over the past 3 years as your pastor, God's given me three people that I've had struggles forgiving. Three people. And I had to deal with this. I had to deal with that command. I don't have the liberty to ignore it. Forgiveness comes not only in a command, but it also comes in a sincere prayer that was modeled by Jesus. And this is how you should pray, says the Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done as on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And watch this. And forgive us. And forgive us our debts, our sins, our trespasses, as we also have forgiven our debtors. There's no way that you can forgive people, in my opinion, until you understand the vertical relationship of what Christ has done for you. I struggled with this. To be more like Christ, I must ask God to take the plank out of my own eyes and heart. If my heart is broken, I must decide first if it's the offender or if it's my own plank I will not take out. My plank in my eye is oftentimes so large that I pierce my own heart. Because I'm ready to judge. My third person that I had to forgive came just a few weeks ago. I had to go to that person and tell them, I want you to know that I forgive you. I could not preach this sermon until I dealt with what I had to deal with. And I'm going to keep dealing with it, just like you are. Now, how many of you guys are wondering who it is? If I didn't come to you, you know it wasn't you. The third truth, here we go. The third truth of how to become imitators of Christ, and I'll get through this. He uses obedience to teach us how to have unconditional love like Christ. 2 John 1:6 says this, "And this is love, that we walk in obedience to His commands. And as you heard from the beginning, to His commands is that you walk in love." It was only until I saw this Facebook thing, and sometimes I just look at these little media things, and I just get inspired with some of these stories. And I know some of you probably saw it this past week, but it came out for Father's Day, June 20th, 2017. It was at a local McDonald's, not a local McDonald's, but it was in Indiana, so it wasn't local at all, okay? But on June 20th, 2017 in McDonald's, there was this dad that was he was in his car through the drive-thru, and he had four little kids with him. And the lady who was in front of him said, because it was all Father's Day, and he saw there was this man and four little kids. He said, I want to pay for the people behind me. I want to pay for his meal and those kids. And so they said, okay. And so he paid for it, or she paid for it. And then he drives up and gets his food, and they told us, well, it's already been paid for, the lady up there. So what he did, he said, okay, well, I want to pay for the people behind me. And they moved up and they saw that. And over and over and over and over, from 8:30 p.m. until closing at midnight, besides a couple vehicles, 167 people paid it forward to the people behind them. 167 cars showed kindness and love, besides a couple cars. And you're thinking, well, what happened? It didn't stop, because the McDonald's employees, with loving it so much, I used their little words, you'll get it later. That totally just came to me. Yeah, it's a God thing. They loved it so much. They were so excited. They didn't want it to end, that they started grabbing money. They grabbed $27 for the couple vehicles that didn't pay, and already told them, hey, the people in front of you paid. And then they wanted to keep it going. 167. Even the employees chipped in. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to His commands. As you have heard from the beginning, His command is that you walk in love. James 1:25 says, "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it," meaning don't give up and not forgiving, don't give in of what you have heard, but doing it, not giving over, they will be blessed in what they do. How many of you guys like to be blessed? How many of you guys know that you are blessed? We often we look at all the things and we compare that we don't have this or that. Kids, listen to me. Kids, are you listening? Teenagers, listen to me. Don't worry about the things that you don't have. Focus on the things that you've already been blessed with. Okay? Focus on what you have already been blessed with. If you'll count your blessings, you won't worry about what you don't have. Probably the best at being doers of what is being told of them is the military. I had to contact my brother here, Philip, about the military this week. I wanted to make sure that just understanding what it's like to be in the military and why they're so obedient. Why they're such good doers of what's being told of them. Listening to their commanding officers, sacrificing their lives for others, being equipped every single day for battle, following the commands. There's nothing else out there that's like it, being in the military. They get it. They understand it. The Bible speaks over 50 times military attributes as being a soldier in Christ. Over 50 times you can look at scriptures of being in the military and what it's like. Obedience is going to be key. And today, the things that I watch is that I see kids today, even though we're trying to be makers of fun factories, we're created by God and built for a purpose, and we're going to teach these kids all these different things. But what I'm watching more and more and what I'm seeing with today's and working with youth for over 22 years in the youth ministry is that the disrespect to parents, the disobedience to parents, the honor their moms and their fathers. We were already born selfish, but to stay in that disobedience is so contrary to being imitators of Christ. It's not something I want to preach. It's something that I have to preach. I see it in the public schools, the disrespect. Kids and teenagers, you have to start looking at your life and you have to start looking at your parents and with respect. Amen. I look at the military. Maybe it's because they surrender their control when they sign up for the military. They surrender up their control. Maybe it's because they know that their commanders know what is best for them. Maybe it's because obedience does something to the heart that you might not normally feel or see in anything else. Maybe it's just their responsibility is to obey. Maybe as Christians, maybe it's just our responsibility is just to obey, to see the blessings. This is not just a kid's talk. This is an adult talk. And I'm talking to myself. To be obedient to the Lord. Maybe obedience is all about sacrifice to demonstrate unconditional love to all. Charles Colson, in 1994, during a conference in Dallas, he told of a story of POWs at a prison camp where literally 20 men, the same 20 men, were digging ditches during this camp every day, digging ditches. They would grab their shovels and they would literally 10 hours a day dig ditches. At the end of digging their ditches, roll call was announced and they all had to line up their shovels. And then the commander, this cruel commander, would come by and he would literally count every person and every single shovel every single day. And then one day he counted, but he only counted 19. And there was 20 men out there. And he demanded that whoever did not bring his shovel to step forward. And that wouldn't step forward. And he demanded again, Someone who ever did not bring their shovel to step forward, and no one did. And the last time he finally said, if no one steps forward, I will kill 10 people at random. And finally, a young guy looked at his fellow POW friends who he loved, who he was with daily. He stepped forward in front of all of them, and he didn't say a word. And at that moment, that guy put a bullet in his head and killed him. But as they were dismissing, the officer went back the rest of them were leaving. And he counted again the shovels. And all 20 of them were there. He miscounted the shovels. Maybe obedience is all about sacrifice to demonstrate unconditional love to all. That's what I want the kids to know during VBS. That there was another person that was willing to step forward for each and every one of us. There's no one else. It's all about Jesus. This is what it's all about. That he came and he died for you. And for your sins, for your trespasses. If you want to look more like Christ, if you want to be imitators of Christ, if you want to know what you're built for, this did look like him. W. Wallace said as closing, every man dies, but not every man truly lives. Every man, every woman is going to die. But not every man and not every woman and not every kid and not every teenager is truly going to live. It's your choice. It's our choice. Let's live to have character of Christ. Let's live to demonstrate forgiveness like Christ. Let's live to show this unconditional love like Christ. And by doing this, we'll be built for a purpose. We're going to be built for a purpose. And that's to change the world. Do you know why you were built? I want you to think about that today. Do you know why you were built? Let's pray. Our Father God, we come before you and we thank you for the opportunity just to be able to reflect on what it looks like to become an imitator of you. To have that character, to be able to have that obedience, but also to be able to show that forgiveness. The things that we struggle with each and every day, these are all three tough things. All tough things that are put in our ways. But you said, God, that for in all things that you use, even the things that we struggle with, even our sins, even the worst of the things that we've done, the things that we may do, that you're not done with us, that you're not through with us. Oftentimes we look like that we're broken, and oftentimes we feel like we can't ever come out of that harbor. But I pray that, God, if there's anyone here today that feel like they're stuck, maybe they feel like they haven't had purpose, maybe they feel like they're done, maybe they feel like they're too old, too young, too this, too that, whatever it may be, that doesn't come from you. I pray that today and tonight and this week that the kids will know what they're built for. as adults and as parents, I pray that we don't forget to continue to instill in that into our kids, into our grandkids. You're all about changing. You're all about building. I pray that today will be a day that we can surrender all that control and allow you to begin to work. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.